Your dreams are bigger, bolder, and more badass than the life you're living now, but something just keeps getting in the way. Join certified coach and former therapist Diane Wingert for the Driven Woman podcast. She'll show you how to get rid of whatever is holding you back so you can stop spinning your wheels and up-level your life. Get ready to hop in and buckle up. This is the Driven Woman podcast, and we're heading for the fast lane.
Well, hey there, Driven Woman, and welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me today, and if you are a longtime listener, for sticking with me through this recent Boundaries series. Now, this is the third episode so far in the Boundaries series. This is episode 99, and the topic is a distraction-free business. Ooh, doesn't that sound good? Now, the previous episodes in the Boundaries series are number 95, which is all about how to create consistently awesome client outcomes by doing a few things like having a signature framework that you don't deviate a whole heck of a lot from, being aware of the pink flags that might make someone a lot less than an ideal client for you, even though they may seem to check all the boxes in that initial consult. We talked a lot in episode 95 about what I call the default yes. And that is partly due to our feminine conditioning, our female hormones, and just the fact that everybody likes us better when we say yes. But too many yeses to other people mean a big fat no to you and your goals and what's most important to you. So that's a little recap of episode 95. If you haven't heard it yet, I strongly suggest you go back and have a listen. 97 was about obligation management. Now, if you're not familiar with that term, it basically means that a whole lot of us, especially women and those identifying as female, are doing a lot of things that they really don't want to be doing because they feel they have to, because they feel obligated, but they feel resentment when they do them. So it's like, well, do I decide not to do it and feel guilty, or do I do it and feel resentful? Either way is not a win in my book. We talked in that episode about the link between boundaries, bandwidth, and burnout, and how reciprocity is not just a nice concept. It actually needs to be measured and tracked, because so many of us say yes to things, going back to that default yes again, we say yes to things because we think that there will be a reciprocal value. And in fact, we're doing a lot more giving than we are getting. And that's where a lot of the resentment comes from. So we don't want to justify feeling obligated, because that can start to feel like anything between codependency and a flat out sunk cost fallacy. So be sure to go back, have a listen to episodes 95 and 97. Now, today we're going to keep paying it forward with the Boundary Series. And today we're going to talk about how to have a distraction-free business. Now, I am guessing there is at least one woman listening who's thinking, yeah, right. There's no such thing, darling. Who are you trying to kid? Come on, stop playing. You may not believe that it's even possible to have a business that's free from distraction. In fact, most people don't believe that you can even tame distractions in your life, much less your business. But I'm here to tell you that you can. Now, I'm honest as the day is long and very direct, as you might have noticed. So I am never going to try to convince you that it is possible to eliminate any, all, and every potential distraction in your life. And frankly, I wouldn't even want to suggest that you do, because you got to know what your distractions are, and you have to know which ones are actually problematic. But being a little bit distractible, I think, can actually serve us. Because if you are just head down, nose to the grindstone, doing your work, really detached and disengaged from your environment, you're not paying attention to anything or anybody or anything going on around you, how are you going to hop on the next trend? How are you going to be aware when your culture is changing? How are you going to recognize opportunities as they arise? So you got to be just a little bit distractible, Because if the alternative is that you're so walled off and disconnected, you're going to miss just as much on that end too. So we're trying to give you the range where you're not overly distractible, where you can't get anything freaking done. And you're also not so buttoned down that you have no opportunity to take advantage of spontaneity and following the occasional positive impulse. So let's talk about distractions. What are they? What are the categories? And which are the ones that are problematic for YOU? Well, first and foremost, we have to acknowledge that at least at the time that this episode is being released, we are still in much of the world under the influence of a global pandemic and quarantine to some degree. At the very least, people who are walking about freely in many parts of the world, including where I live, are wearing masks and our vaccination status is being managed and monitored. Now, the biggest distraction for any of us is ultimately how we deal with work and non-work. Now, I don't think of it as work and life. Everybody talks about the work-life balance. Girl, work is life. Life is work. So I don't think we need to necessarily be talking about the balance between work and life. And especially if you are, like I am, an online entrepreneur, you work from home, you are your own boss. And if you share your dwelling with at least one other being, could be a parent, could be a partner, could be a pet, could be a child, could be any and all of the above, and then some, there will be distractions baked right into your environment. So we do need to acknowledge those things. And, you know, I kind of wonder what it would have been like if I would have had the opportunity to start an online business and work from home during the years that I was raising my kids. Now, internet wasn't even a thing then. It might have been an idea in the back of some brilliant person's head, but it was not, in fact, a thing. So that wasn't an option that I had. I went to work. My kids went to daycare. That's how it was for my generation of women. But now, a lot of you are working from home in anything from a spare bedroom to a corner of the dining room table with homeschooled kids hopping and jumping all over the place, dogs and cats bouncing in and out of your lap, and a partner who is wondering why they can't find something that's right in front of them in their refrigerator and needs your help to get it. This is a real thing. And this is one of the biggest sources of distractions. Now, not everybody can afford to find a place to work outside the home. And it might not even be an option because of the COVID situation where you live. But you have to be honest with yourself always, but especially when it comes to distractions. If you literally cannot concentrate for 15 minutes to get a little bit of work done, you might have to do something drastic. I'm not suggesting divorce or abandoning your kids, but I am saying you might have to get up a lot earlier than you want to. You might have to stay up a lot later than you want to. You might have to send your partner and your kids off to the park and work on Saturday or Sunday. Now, we don't necessarily want to make these compromises, but if you are a person who really, really, really cannot concentrate when there are other beings in your space, whether it's a big space or a small space, then it starts with honesty and self-awareness, right? I know people that would love, love, love to work from home because they would prefer to always be in PJ pants and they don't do video, so they can shower whenever they get around to it. But we don't all have that much flexibility and freedom. So some of us really do need to eliminate the distractions of other beings by taking ourselves somewhere else. Some of the more creative people I know are able to do something like a co-op where, you know, one friend looks after their kids and the kids of their friend while that friend gets some work done, and then they return the favor on the other end. So there are all kinds of arrangements out there, but other beings in your space, I'm not going to get into excruciating detail about that. I simply want to acknowledge it is a real thing and the most important tool in your arsenal when it comes to the distractions of other beings in your space while you're trying to work is don't tell yourself what you should be able to do. Do not try to convince yourself that so-and-so has four kids and she runs a highly successful business from home and she doesn't even have help. That's her brain. It's not yours. That's her life. It's not yours. Doesn't matter if you have the same number of kids. Doesn't matter. None of it matters. What matters is self-awareness and self-respect. You do you. Do not compare yourself to what you think you should do, what someone else seems to be doing, or what you used to be able to do at a different age and stage of your life. it does not serve you. So what are the distractions in your home environment? If you cannot eliminate them, you might need to come up with a creative solution where you take yourself somewhere else. Now, I'm going to start talking about the kind of distractions that you may not have been expecting from this episode. For example, one of the biggest distractions that especially new, emerging, aspiring entrepreneurs have is our competition. Girl, can I just say, you do not need to stalk your competitors, for real. That is a huge distraction. You know why? Because the only people that you're going to want to pay attention to in your niche are the ones who are doing better than you. And unless you are wildly different from most humans, you are not going to find that inspiring. You're going to find it crushing and demoralizing and totally intimidating and even terrifying. When you pay too much attention to what other people who are in your space are doing and how their carefully crafted and curated image online appears to be rolling in the cheddar while you are trying to figure out which bill you can afford to pay and trying to dodge the bill collectors, it is the biggest distraction. And something I've spoken about in one of my previous episodes is I came to a point where I suddenly realized that if I took the exact amount of time, energy, focus, and effort that I was putting into paying attention to what everyone else was doing, and I took that exact amount and invested it in my own business, I would be much farther ahead. And I would feel much lighter, freer, and more confident. And you know what? It totally freaking worked. 1 week, I must have unsubscribed to a couple of hundred email lists. Because while I would get good ideas from other people, I would be occasionally inspired by other people. What ultimately happened, and 9 times out of 10, I would either feel intimidated or I would feel demoralized or kind of deflated, frustrated. I would get down on myself and think I should be much further by now. I'm never going to be like this person, which is the most useless thing to think because it just drains all of your energy. It's like, go run and take the air out of all 4 of your tires and then try to go somewhere. It's just the worst. But not only that, when you are not tapping into other people's creativity, you create the space to boot up your own creativity. The reality is that most ideas are not totally original, and most of the people that you admire so much and their apparent success is making you feel inadequate, insecure, and less than. Half the time, these people that are so impressive online, they may be bragging about making $1 million. What you don't know is they're spending $900,000 on their team and Facebook ads. So you may actually be much closer to them than you think. So just please, especially if you are in the early stages of entrepreneurship or you have hit a limit that you don't seem to be able to break through, or you have been at the same level for a really long time and you're really feeling very impacted by that, please, they're a distraction. Get them all out. And if you find that your tolerance for paying attention to your competitors is something you end up missing, like because it was just so helpful, then you can always resubscribe. It's not like you're going to forget who they are, but to be honest with you, you probably. And if you do forget who they are because you're not following them, isn't that telling? Okay, moving on. Your environment. Now, I've already spoken about this just a little bit about the other beings in your environment, beings like partners and kids and parents and pets and so forth. But I'm talking about the actual physical environment that you try to work in. In a previous episode, I talked about one of my favorite clients who was ridiculously creative and really, really, really wanted to write a book. But the place that she would sit down to work on that so-called book was in a space where she was filled with all kinds of other creative opportunities and options. There was just no way, because for her, writing a book was very demanding and really required her to put on the blinders and get focused. In an environment that was full of other tempting, delicious, enticing, and seductive options, not going to happen. So use your self-awareness and recognize, what kind of environment do I need to be in? I am one of those people, super annoying, name it and claim it, I cannot be in a messy environment and be productive. I cannot be in a cluttered environment and be creative. My brain, my mind, and especially my creativity require open, spacious environments where I can literally let my imagination roam and soar. If there is clutter, I have just enough kind of OCD tendencies that I will start obsessing about every freaking piece of dog hair, dust, or a grease mark, and that will consume my focus and attention as well as my energy and effort. Huge waste of time. So I need to be in a streamlined, simplified, minimalistic, almost Spartan environment to focus and be creative. Believe me, I've tried every kind of environment there is, from a beautiful office to a corner of the kitchen table to outside to at the beach to a hotel to a co-working space, a different co-working space. I've learned through trial and error and the absence of judgment, my environment matters. And I cannot give myself the option of being distracted by other enticing things in that environment. But one of the things that's oddly enticing for me, and maybe for you, I'm sure I'm not the only one, is the need for things to be cleaned and dusted and organized. I cannot ignore that shit. So for me, a messy, dirty, cluttered room is just screaming for my attention. And if I am trying to sit down and plan out the next few podcast episodes or who I want to invite to be a guest or anything that requires focus and creativity, I'm a goner because I'm going to be digging out the cleaning supplies from under the sink and looking for a rag so I can get to work on those smudges and spots. Know yourself. That's all I'm saying. Know yourself and position yourself in an environment where you are not going to be distracted by those things. If you need to put blinders on, literally, I don't know if that they have a human version. Obviously, they have them for horses. And by the way, if you think about that, why do they put blinders on horses? So they can win. Because when the horses can see around, they're paying attention to things that do not involve the goal in front of them. This is an important little point. So know your susceptibility being distracted by your environment and take the actions that support you by either decluttering that particular corner, wiping it down before you try to sit down and focus, or you know what you need to do, right? Okay, mindset. Mindset, mindset, mindset. I will never stop talking about mindset because it's just so freaking important. Literally every single person who signs up for a free consult with me on the way to becoming one of my clients, almost every single one, tells me they have issues with self-doubt. They have issues with perfectionism. They procrastinate. They have imposter complex, literally every single one. And by the way, not just my clients, like almost every single woman I've ever met who has any degree of self-awareness will talk about the fact that she feels like an imposter, the fact that she feels like she's not good enough. Some of us feel like we're not enough and too much at the same time, which is a real clusterfuck kind of thinking, but I get it. And we have difficulty showing up because we don't want to be criticized. When you think about all that, that's a whole real ball of wax. And those things are a huge freaking distraction in your business. Think about it. Let's say if you understand that no matter what goods or services you're selling, and this is the truth, it took me a few years to really, really realize it and to stop resisting it and fighting it and resenting it. But whatever goods or services you sell, you are in the business of marketing, period. If you are a coach, you're in the business of marketing. If you're a consultant, you're in the business of marketing. If you make freaking t-shirts with feminist slogans, and I hope some of you do, send me some. I will buy them quite happily and wear them with pride. But you are in the business of marketing. We all are. Unless you happen to be a celebrity, let's not even talk about celebrity culture, but I guess I just did. Anyway, if you are in the business of providing goods or services to anybody, unless you are already a celebrity or you happen to have a huge platform or you are the only one on the freaking planet that makes the thing or does the thing that you do, you are in the marketing business. So mindset issues like imposter complex, feeling insecure, feeling self-doubt, being a perfectionist, feeling like you're too much, feeling like you're not enough. These are mindset issues that distract you from getting shit done. I have never met a smart woman that didn't spend more time in her head than she did taking action. It is a particular affliction of the highly intelligent and the highly educated. We overthink like crazy. And there's a reason why it's called overthinking. I want you to pause on that for just a moment. If it was just thinking or lots of thinking or high energy thinking, then that would be a plus, right? Because thinking is good, so more thinking must be better. But overthinking, just that expression hints at the fact that it's not a good thing to think too much. And in my experience, as a type A perfectionist, overachiever, overthinker, I have learned that there comes a point where, well, I'm not saying don't think at all. Obviously, we do need to think. We need to make decisions. We need to take action. But overthinking means that you spend a lot of time trying to make things just right, trying to make things even better, and trying to wait until you've got everything just so, believing with your whole heart that then you will feel ready to push go. It's a lie, and it's a huge, huge distraction. You do not need another course, darling. You do not need another coach, even me. I'll say that again for the people in the back. You do not need another coach, even me. I mean, a couple of you probably do, but if you really know what you're doing and you know how to do it, but you just keep making it better because you keep thinking it's going to reach a point where you're actually going to feel ready to market it. Not true. Huge distraction. Stop yourself. Just stop right now. You don't have to feel ready. You never will. Because as soon as you feel ready to do something, it's because you've already mastered it. So you're not growing. So understand, accept, be honest, use your self-awareness. Most of these things are mindset blocks that are a huge distraction in your business and will keep you right where you are for a lot longer than you need to be there. I never believed these online celebrity coach and guru people who talk about you can get from here to there in 6 weeks or even 6 months. 97% of people cannot and will not. And when they buy into that mentality, they buy into that programming, and then they don't make it, they usually blame themselves. And that's just a whole lot of fuckery going on in the industry. But on the other hand, it doesn't take as long as you think it does. And all of those excuses and all of those elaborate procrastination schemes are a form of distraction. I've talked about it in previous episodes, and I'm going to keep on talking about it because this is one of those things that really requires us to really see ourselves in it. Again and again and again. You can go unconscious to this stuff so easily that I'm not distracted. That's not a distraction, but it's also a crutch. And anything that's holding you back is a distraction, I freaking promise. Okay, ready for the next one? Next one is having a low threshold for boredom and a low boredom tolerance. Now, as a woman with ADHD, I can absolutely say, hand raised, both hands raised, probably both hands and both feet raised, that I treat boredom like a life-threatening condition. I really, really hate to be bored. And I'm easily bored. I need a lot of stimulation. But if I'm not utilizing my self-awareness, the aversion to boredom means I'm highly distractible. And let me explain what I mean by that. If I label something that I need to do for my business, in my business, with my business, to grow my business, if I label any part of that as boring, oh, it's so boring, I don't want to do it, oh, it's so boring, whether that's my bookkeeping or, you know, time blocking or batching content or, you know, doing the admin, whatever it is, if I identify something, if I have labeled something as boring, I really need to outsource it. I need to find a way to pay someone else to do it for me. Or I need to find a way to make it fun. Because if I've labeled it as boring, and I really cannot tolerate being bored, then I will do just about anything to avoid having to do that thing, which means if I, let's say, for example, that it's bookkeeping. If I have labeled bookkeeping boring, of course I'm going to avoid it. Of course I'm going to resist it. Of course I'm going to procrastinate on it. But I'm self-aware. I am a self-aware solopreneur. So I will put some time on my calendar on a predictable and recurring basis. Time to do your bookkeeping. Well, when I see that thing in my calendar, because I don't want to do it, because I think it's boring, because boring is just so intolerable for me, I will be open to any and all manner of distraction to give me an excuse not to do it. Could be food, could be phone, could be social media, could be, I don't know, my dog looks like maybe he might have diarrhea sometime within the next couple hours. I better keep a real close eye on him. Like, it literally could be any freaking thing. Your brain will start scanning the environment, looking, searching for something that's pleasurable so that you don't have to feel the discomfort of boredom. So know thyself. Okay, you're going to hear this from me so many times. Being self-aware, self-awareness and self-acceptance are the two most important things that we actually need in life. And so few people give them the importance they require. If you are self-aware and you recognize, oh, I really hate this task. I really find it boring. I will avoid it at all costs. When it shows up on my calendar, I will do just about anything to not have to do that thing. So you're going to get into all kinds of nonsense. You're going to get into all kinds of distractions, and it still isn't going to get done. A much better strategy is to schedule a Focus Mate session. You've heard me talk about Focus Mate before. Schedule a Focus Mate session or schedule an accountability partner time and say, I'm going to sit down and do my bookkeeping. And as soon as I'm done, I'm going to text you or send you a Voxer message or send you a Slack message or, you know, pull up in front of your house and hit my horn, whatever your arrangement is. But there's no blame. There's no shame. We don't have to shit on ourselves just because we don't like to be bored and some of our stuff we find boring. But you do have to find a way to work with it, right? Because you're the boss. All right, a couple more. Digital information impulsivity, right? I'm going to call that DII. I just made it up, but maybe it's a real thing. I don't know. There's so much information out there in the world. I mean, it's literally astonishing how much information is created and added to the metaverse every single day. Like, I don't even know the numbers because they just keep increasing exponentially. And if you are a lifelong learner like me, if you literally love nothing more than learning and sharing what you learn, then your brain is always going to be jonesing for whatever's new, whatever's trending, whatever's popping, right? Whatever's novel, whatever's shiny. Entrepreneurs are just about all subject to this shiny object syndrome. So please, you have to know what your particular level of distraction to these things are. Depending on what I have on my schedule, on my calendar, on my to-do list, what I need to get done, and how urgently I need to get it done, oftentimes I need to either turn off my damn phone or put it in the other room until I'm done because I can't trust myself. Now, I don't have to think I'm a freaking addict because of that. I just say, I'm not fully engaged in this task. There's some part of my brain that is a little itchy, feels like it needs a little something, something, even though I'm kind of doing this thing. Don't have the phone at your handy because you won't be able to keep your hands off the damn thing. And I've already spoken in the past about multitasking. It's not a thing, okay? In spite of whatever you've heard or how you think you found a way to be productive multitasking, you're full of shit. It doesn't work. It's task switching, and people way smarter than you and I put together times 10 have proven beyond any shadow of any doubt for all kinds of brains. It's not good. Put the damn phone away. Decision fatigue. I got two more, and then I'm going to tell you what to do instead of all these things because I just love to tell everybody all the things they shouldn't do, and they're like, but what do we do instead? I'm going to get to that, I promise you. Okay, two more things about having a distraction-free business. Decision fatigue. I'm sure you've heard of it. It's got kind of a nice ring to it. And let me tell you, decision fatigue is the real deal. And the degree to which you can create habits, systems, structures, strategies, practices, routines, whatever word is least objectionable to you, because I know a lot of people think they're a free spirit and a multi-passionate and they just can't stand to have any kinds of systems or habits or structures, then adopt the ones that you can live with and build on them. Because without them, your brain is literally having to make up every single moment of your business from scratch, and that's freaking exhausting. Having systems, structures, habits, rituals, routines is so good for your brain, for your mind, for your body, for your business, for your productivity, for your creativity. I know people resist it. I resisted it too. But what I have done in the process is eliminated so much freaking decision fatigue. That freed up a literal fuck ton of creativity and positivity energy too, because I literally am not having to face every single decision as it arises. I created my structure, I created my systems, I created my routines, and then I just plug and play because I've taught my brain to work that way. It didn't happen overnight, but it did happen over time. And speaking of mindset, I had to stop feeling sorry for myself that I needed that in order to perform at my best. Like, I want to be a high performance person. I want to be a high performance solopreneur. I got a very busy brain. So I had to be willing to adopt some systems and structure and habits and routines, because the load it took off my mind in terms of decision fatigue has given me so much back, so much more in return. We're going to take a very quick little break for this important word, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell you some very practical, actionable things that you can do that will make a difference right away. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Hey, it's Diane with a quick interruption to the episode because I've got a couple questions I just need to ask you. One, are you where you want to be in your business? Are you making the money you want to make, working the hours you want to work, seeing the clients that you want to see, and getting the income and impact that you went into business to get? And if the answer is no, what's holding you back? Why is there a gap between where you are and where you want to be? Do you know the answer? In my experience working with female solopreneurs, so many of them don't even really know what's standing in their way, and that is so frustrating. So I created a little quiz called What's Holding You Back? There's a link to it in the show notes. If this is you, please take the quiz, and if you do, DM me on Instagram at Coach Diane Wingert and let me know your results. Now, on the other hand, if you already know what's holding you back, if you already know what the obstacles are that are getting in your way from achieving the income and impact that you deserve and desire, then I don't want you to take the quiz. Forget about the quiz. Go directly to the other link in the show notes and book a consult with me. I may be the very coach, and this may be the year that you put all of that behind you and really have the business that you went into business to have. For everybody else, keep on listening. And if you find value in what you hear, don't forget to leave me a rating and review on Apple or wherever you're listening. Here we go, back to the show.
So I remember when we talked about what you introduced as habit stacking, so pairing your habits. And when you did initially bring that up, my initial reaction was like, ugh, like that sounds awful. Like, I don't want to do that. But that was like one of the first things that one of the first shifts that our work together had changed. And that is something that I'm grateful for every day. So the first thing I do in the morning is I go pee. And so what your advice was, take your medication, you know, right after, have your glass of water there in the bathroom. And so that's sort of my daily routine is going to the bathroom, taking my medication, contacts, coffee. Yeah. And it's great because it just cuts out any chance of forgetting, which then would lead to kind of lollygagging around and then like, oh, wait, have I taken it? I should take it. Wait, but this one other thing. And so just it, that really starts off the day so consistently and well. So that is the first thing. And then with regards to the rest of my morning routine, my best friend and I, we live together and we exercise in the morning now. So we've been doing that for the past 4 months, like at least 4 days a week. And so we do Beachbody, and it's just really fun because we do have the accountability of there's going to be someone waiting for you. So your butt better be up.
Okay, Driven Woman, are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready, 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 ready? Are you ready to hear the things that you can do that are simple and actionable and make a huge amount of difference? Okay, first and foremost, you got to know your tolerance. Now, I'm kind of a nerd in this respect. You might not have guessed that, but I really am. And that is that I no longer make clients who work with me do this, but I do find huge value in it. So if it's something you are willing to do with yourself, I personally think it's very beneficial. Not everybody wants to do it. And that is do an analysis of how you spend your time for like a week. And it needs to be kind of a regular week, an average week. Do a time study. I think the way they used to be done back in the day, whatever day that was, a few years ago, when I first learned about them from productivity strategists, you would literally have to write down on a freaking spreadsheet everything you did in 15-minute time blocks for an entire week. No wonder people resist, right? But I actually asked a client to do this not too long ago. And what she did was she just set a repeating 15-minute timer on her phone. And then whatever she was doing every 15 minutes, she would just stop and do a little voice note and send it to herself. And then she would send herself the next note and the next note and the next note. And then she had them transcribed. And then it was a very simple thing. And I thought, that's cool. I don't think you have to go into that much detail. But if you're nerdy like me and you want to, have at it. Because there is nothing like data to convince you of just how distractible you actually are. So if you want to just play along and try this, I think it might be worthwhile, even if you just do it once every 30 minutes or even once an hour. But what have I been doing in the last hour? And have I been focused or distracted? And what was the nature of the distraction? A lot of people don't have a short-term memory that'll hold a whole hour's worth of information. I would have a hard time doing this. I would probably have to do it more often than once an hour. But if you just decide to do it once an hour, it's like take your temperature every hour. What have I been doing in the last hour? Did I generally feel focused or distracted? And if distracted, what was the nature of the distraction? You may very well see within a very short period of time, like 1 week, legit, that you don't have a million different distractions like you think you do. You have two or three, and they happen very often and like every day. Great. That's great and very useful information, because instead of thinking, oh, I'm so distractible, I'm always distracted by something, I can't get anything freaking done, by actually paying attention and asking yourself once an hour, once every half hour, every 15 minutes, whatever you can do, am I focused or am I distracted? And what was the nature of my distraction or who? Sometimes it's actually not a distraction. Sometimes it's an interruption. If you keep being distractible because you have interruptions, then you can address those interruptions. Okay, see what I mean? Okay, know your tolerance. What I mean by this is a lot of us could never work for other people successfully because the typical workplace requires you to go in for 8 to 9 hours, work for several hours at a time, take a short break, work for several more hours at a time, and then go home. A lot of people can't sit still that long. A lot of people find the longer they sit still, the slower their brain gets. And a lot of people are extremely distracted just sitting in one place, period. So some of us have learned that what actually works best is to not sit in front of a screen, especially for longer than an hour at a time, because then we become more distractible if we do. So this is another area where you need to learn your tolerance and maybe do a little bit of self-monitoring and self-management. If you find that you can sit down at a task in the first 30 minutes you're really quite focused. But after that, your mind starts to wander, you start to venture off, you start to open up other tabs, you start to look at other things, then do the Pomodoro technique and do those 30-minute blocks. Take a break, do another 30-minute block, and take a break. Don't force yourself to sit in front of a computer for an hour or 2 hours or 5 hours if you have a law of diminishing returns after 30 minutes. It makes no sense. You're going to feel exhausted. You're going to have nothing to show for yourself. And you're going to keep reinforcing the narrative that you are too distracted to get anything done. You might be ridiculously distracted the second half of every hour, but the first half, you're killing it. So maybe you need to work for 30 minutes and take a 30-minute break, and then work for 30 minutes and take a 30-minute break. Because every time you sit down and try to work for an hour straight, you can only concentrate for half of it anyway. So make it official. If you have your own business, if you work for yourself, being aware of what your actual bandwidth is, what your actual tolerance is, how long your time blocks can actually be. Now, my time blocks, just for point of reference, there are tasks that I can focus on no longer than 20 minutes, tops. There are other tasks I can focus on for 90 minutes before I need a break. You don't really know unless you measure the data. But in order to measure that data, you have to do it in a mindful way. You've heard me talk about mindfulness before. Being mindful is being open, being curious, and being non-judgmental. So if you're going to be monitoring and tracking these things, you cannot do it with this mindset of, oh, you're so distractible. You're like a little kid. You can't sit still. You can't get anything done. What the hell is the matter with you? Because then you won't be able to do anything positive with this really important data. I think if you work from home, if you work for yourself, you can create a business that takes all of these things into account. You can't work for 4 hours straight. Don't. You're going to have to make some other adjustments, but trying to force yourself into a configuration that doesn't work for you, you might as well go back and get a JOB, because that's exactly what that feels like. Most of us reach a point of no return when we are sitting down to do a task, whether it's a highly focused task or a creative task or both. Most of us will reach a point of no return. I call it the brain drain or the tipping point, where we become more distractible. It's a matter of fatigue. It's a matter of boredom. It's a matter of the fact that everyone loses energy when they're sitting in the same place. You've heard me say, sitting is the new smoking. I didn't make that up, but it's actually very damaging, not only to our bodies, but to our minds and brains, because we just don't feel as able to focus, concentrate, be productive, or be creative. So get up and move, get up and move, get up and move, get up and move. If you have to get up every 20 or 30 minutes, move for 5 minutes, then sit back down again, just pay attention to your rhythms, because you will be less distractible when you do. And I think on the subject of, you know, probably the biggest distractions of all right now, the news, social media, and OPPs, other people's problems. I don't know very many people that can have an open door policy, can leave their phone sitting in front of them with all the functions open, all the notifications on. I don't know many people that can sit in front of a laptop with 20 or 30 or 90 tabs open and not be distracted. I think sometimes we think we need those things and we feel a sense of deprivation when we try to shut them down. But you really can be less distractible by removing those distractions. I would much rather say I've got one or two tabs open, and then when I'm on a break time, I can have as many as I want. So I make lots of little rules for myself because I have tried every possible way to not be distractible, and I know what works for me. To summarize, I honor my circadian rhythms. Okay, so I know what times of day I can do different types of work, and I don't try to force myself into another configuration. I have worked out theme days and days where I batch things, days when I do, you know, creative work, days when I do more focused work. things get interrupted. I have to move things around. It's not always ideal. But one of the main reasons I wanted to work for myself was to be able to create, create that kind of freedom to work in a way that honors the brain I have. And I don't tempt myself with things that I know that are going to get me into trouble. If I have focus work to do, I'm not going to have my phone handy. I'm not going to have my notifications on. I'm not going to have 57 tabs open. I'm not going to have the door open. I'm going to do everything I need to do to give myself the best chance at focused productivity, knowing I'm going to get more done in less time, and then I can go do the things that I used to keep trying to fit in. This whole task switching business, just to sum this up, switching between this thing and that thing and another thing, what we basically do when we allow all these distractions is we train our brain to be even less capable of focusing. Just because you get the impulse to go do something else. Hey, I got shiny object syndrome like anybody. I got it just as much as everybody. But I have trained myself over time, not perfectly, but much better than before, not to give into it so much. Because the more you give into distractibility, the more distractible you become. You think you're getting worse, but you're actually training your brain to be more distractible. So I hope that you have found some value in this. We've got at least one, if not two more, episodes coming up in the Boundaries series. One for sure I have already decided on, and another one I'm not quite 100% ready to commit to yet, but we are going to be wrapping up the series pretty soon. And just to say that next week, believe it or not, next week is going to be episode 100. After procrastinating for 2 years on getting started on this podcast, I never dreamed I would ever reach 100 episodes. I am so thrilled that I've reached this point. I feel in so many ways like I'm just getting started. I love the feedback I get from each and every one of you, and I hope that you will continue to stay along with me on the ride. I'm not going to reveal exactly what episode 100 is going to be, but it is a creative urge that I got recently. It is going to be completely different than anything I have done up to this point. And that's all I'm going to say, because you simply have to show up and see for yourself next week. Okay, Driven Women, that's all for now. And remember, mind your boundaries, because no one will do it for you. That's all.
You've been listening to the Driven Woman Podcast with Diane Wingert. Want more straight talk and strategy each week that will take you from spinning to winning? Don't forget to hit subscribe in your podcast player so you won't miss a single episode. Then head on over to the Driven Woman free and private Facebook group community. See you there.